Welcome to the Iron Wales podcast, proudly brought to you by Be Excellence, as part of our unwavering dedication to inclusive media. On this podcast, we shine a spotlight on the remarkable individuals who proudly call Wales their home, from visionary business owners to gifted creatives and all those who inspire us with their stories. We celebrate their contributions to shaping Wales into the diverse and vibrant nation it is today. So whether you're tuning in from the bustling streets of Cardiff, the picturesque landscapes of Snowdonia, or anywhere else on the globe, join us as we explore the rich tapestry of Welsh culture, creativity, and innovation.
We run canvas goods, so we make by hand and also by machine. So we offer like a bespoke service as well as a made-to-order service.
And your products are like bags and like wallets, that kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah. It's leather accessories, canvas accessories. So it's a wide range of bags, small leather goods, bags, crossbody bags, messenger bags, evening bags.
Nice.
So quite a wide range.
Are you self-taught? Did you go to like a training for that, or how does that work?
Yeah, well, I studied bespoke tailoring for 2 years, and that kind of enabled me to understand patterns and stuff, and I kind of just sort of interest of just craft and making things by myself. It kind of led me into bags, basically. Yeah.
Wow, that's fascinating. So talk me through the process. If somebody wanted to, can you do bespoke stuff, I guess?
Yeah. So we definitely get like a lot of commission based bespoke stuff, which is I would say is the funnest part of our business.
Right.
Because you know, talking to someone and finding out what they want, possibly, you know, for instance, if someone inquiry about wanting a bag made from say their mom give them a bag or something, and then it got really old and they want to make something similar to that because of the emotional attachment, we like that kind of project, some you know, something of that sort, and just, you know, giving them something that actually is 100% what they want.
I love that. That's such a great idea, isn't it? That recycling and reusing of the sentimental value, especially for a wedding. That would be cool, wouldn't it? That would be really good for a wedding.
Yeah.
Oh, that's such a great idea. Guys, if you're out there listening and you think that could be useful or helpful to you, I think that's beautiful. You know, I think we're in the era of recycling and reclaiming stuff, aren't we? Because of the climate and everything, but not just because of that, just because we like to keep hold of stuff. We have very sentimental value to things. That's a really great idea. Tell us a little bit about some of your clients. What has been the most unusual request? Can you share it?
I guess maybe the most unusual request would be, there's always, I don't know, I'm not sure I can say it. I like 10 a.m., but there's been a few adventurous ones that, you know, maybe like Pardo or something.
I need to know now, Kingsley. Okay, you've got me curious.
we didn't actually get the commission. But we do get some fun requests. Like we have requests sometimes from, say, restaurants or maybe a hotel, which we love to do that stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But we have gotten a few odd ones, but Not because we would probably went through and do it, but it then didn't go through.
Oh, okay. And you're not going to tell us. Okay. Okay, no worries. So how long have you been in Cardiff? I know you're not originally from Cardiff. You're from London, yeah?
Yeah, well, I'm originally from Jamaica and I moved to London at the age of 11.
Okay.
And kind of went through secondary school in London. And yeah, most of my development, I would say, in terms of craft-wise, I've been in London, you know, naturally. But I used to always come to Cardiff from age of, I believe, 12, 13.
Because
I have family. I have loads of family here.
Right.
So I used to always spend summer holidays here and Christmas. Because we have quite a large I've got quite a large family here.
Yeah.
So I used to love it. It was great. Yeah. It was great. It was great.
Oh, did you use Scobarry Island?
Not that much, actually.
Okay.
I used to always stay in in the community with my aunts and cousins and stuff. But we didn't travel much.
Right.
I think I travel Wales much more with my friends that I met in London. That's from Wales.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about where this comes from, this skillmanship of, you know, crafting. Is it something that you've inherited?
I think, you know, I believe it's coming from Jamaica. And, you know, in Jamaica, a lot of people, you know, we have to do things by ourselves. So, you know, just to be independent and just, you know, learn how to do whatever you need doing. You know, like the simplest form of just, like, if you think about Jamaican culture of just, like, how we dress, how we express ourselves. Mm. You know, the same thing that my uncles used to wear to, like, church on Sunday, like a blazer or, you know, a suit trousers, you know, they will probably restyle it with like a vest or something and wear it to a dance or to like a party. So we've always, you know, make do with what we got. So when I came here as a kid and just being, you know, there's so much culture, you know, in London or in, you know, meeting people from different places and then come into contact with that and being open. I believe that was the most important thing, being open and curious about, you know, what is this, you know, how can I learn about different culture, how can I learn about how to make something by myself. But I think that definitely comes from my Jamaican heritage, basically.
Yeah. I absolutely agree with you. I love that. I love the idea of, you know, when we look at nowadays, we're getting more history coming through, and we're seeing that a lot of inventors were actually people from, you know, from Black communities, and it's surprising a lot of people. But for me, I'm just like, I knew that, because when you don't have much and you have to survive, you can become very creative and resilient. And, you know, so it doesn't surprise me that a lot of the things that we take for granted on a daily basis were created and invented by people who were enslaved back in the day and that kind of thing. So and I love the fact that all this history is coming to life now. It's brilliant. But let's go to one of your songs. You've chosen Chronix, one of my favorite artists, by the way, Roots and Chalice. Tell us why you chose this song.
Obviously being grew up in Jamaican household, and just my best friends and stuff are Jamaican and African, so we always, you know, there's a certain vibe, and I cut my dreads recently, but I've had dreads, there's been times that I've had dreads, I've had dreads probably like 2-3 times, and it just embodied like my Jamaican culture, and just like how the Rastaman speak, and just the vibes, just the story of the song, just make you want to just like drop, like bounce to a little one drop, you know.
I love that.
Yeah.
So Kingsley, you said you went to see the Bob Marley film. What was it like?
I tell you what, for me I was a bit skeptical, because I didn't think the trailer was that great.
Yeah.
And I went to see it by myself as well, because Tristan wasn't here. But it was, I really liked it. I thought they told that part of the story really well.
Yeah.
I thought the actor Kingsley was really good.
I just realized
he was really, really good. The accent, I was fearing about the accent, and I think he did a really good job. And the costumes was really good as well, just like the way that they dress, like the attitude, and I definitely, I would see it again.
Like, would you?
Think I would see it again. It's obviously, don't want to give anything away, but I left the movie and I was just like, I text a few people like, I think I'm going to grow my dreads back.
He embodied Bob. I love that.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, going on about talking about cultural appropriation, if you like, because a lot of people have been saying that, you know, they don't think that it should have been a British guy, it should have been a Jamaican person to play the part. But I mean, we could talk about that forever, but I think as long as the family were the ones, you know, making the decision, I think that was okay. So, yeah, I'm okay with it. And he seems, I haven't watched it yet, but for me, I think we can go a little bit too far when we talk about cultural appropriation. I'm sure Kingsley's mixed, you know. And I'm sure he has Jamaican descendants. I don't know that for a fact, but I'm sure he does. But, yeah, you know, in terms of appropriation, we talk a lot of people talk about carnival and reggae festivals in the UK and how that's not represented by, you know, it doesn't reflect Jamaica.
Yeah.
We had some people on the show last year from Reggae and Rhythm.
Yeah.
They put on an amazing event last year in 2022. It was brilliant. Did you go? You were in London. Yeah. Honestly, it was absolutely excellent. And what I loved about it is that they don't just play them, it's not just about the stage, it's about the learning, the teaching and learning as well. So they had a Rastafarian village, which I love, so you could learn more about the culture and the herbs and the reason why, you know, what Rastafarian is. And I love that because it wasn't just about, you know, using the music from the front and, you know, having a great time. It was about education as well.
Yeah,
and they were saying that there's not many Rastafarians in the UK anymore. And they're really trying to get young people inspired to become it again. And I think this Bob film's going to do that. Do you?
Yeah, I definitely think it will inspire people because, you know, I got really inspired by just, like, watching it. I don't know if I agree in terms of, like, Rasta, the actual, you know, it's become a bit of a trend, you know, like having dreads, growing dreads have become a bit of a like pop trend.
Mm.
So they're visually, I think the hairstyle is there.
Mm.
But I think maybe the true meaning and like the true acting out what a Rastafarian life, like, you know, the lifestyle, you know, how the proper culture of Rastafarianism, maybe that's faded a bit.
Mm.
But in terms of just like it being visually acceptable,
yeah,
I think, you know, it's like, you know, that comes with hip-hop culture, that comes with like reggae music growing,
yeah.
So there's two sides to it. I think what's important to say with, you know, the Bob Marley movie and the British guy playing Bob Marley, you know, a mixed race guy playing Bob Marley, he's mixed, but I think I was a bit skeptical about that, but I think I watched an interview of his, him talking about himself playing Bob Marley, and he did his work. He's so educated about it. He's so respectful about it. He spent his time and got to know the family of Bob Marley. Ziggy chose him. Mm. All the family chose him. And if he's best in class to play that role, I think he should play that role because I wouldn't want a Jamaican person to do it. I'm not saying, obviously, if they chose the right Jamaican person and they played Bob Marley correctly, like, then yes. But if out of everyone, if he was the best because he auditioned the best and he did the best job, I felt like he did an amazing job. Like, so I think we need to, in my eyes, I feel like it's like a British guy playing like an American act. If he's the best, if he does the job quite well, why shouldn't he?
And we can't forget that Bob wasn't just Jamaican; he was global.
Yeah,
you know, he was a global, and his father was half. His father was English, so you know, I think Kingsley was. It was good to do that. I think it was because it was representative of who Bob really was.
I think while I was watching his interview, what he said a lot of the time when you see this question arise, and then they say, oh, how come you didn't get like a Jamaican guy or you didn't get this person to play? Sometimes it's to do with scheduling.
Okay.
So, because maybe he was available and he was best in class to do it, you know, because they probably don't want to wait 3 years for this Jamaican guy that's busy acting.
Yeah,
so
sure.
A lot of the times, sometimes when you see like, you know, they... Maybe he's best in class, and maybe he's to do with scheduling,
And it had to be done right. I mean, it's such a massive part, isn't it? You know, it's one that you have to get it right. Because, I mean, the amount of people I know are very sceptical about this, but they've been really pleasantly surprised. So that's good. I can't wait to see it this Saturday. I'm going to go and see it.
Yeah,
I'm really, really excited about it. And I'll probably watch it over and over as well.
yeah, it's nice.
I love Bob Marley. He's amazing. And I love his grandson, YG Marley. Have you heard his track?
I don't think I've heard.
Oh, I'll play. I've played earlier, so I'll play again. I'll play again later. But yeah, it's a really great track as well. YG Marley, Jar in the Moonlight. Brilliant. Okay. Let's go back to your business, Kingsley. Yeah. So what do you hope to achieve in Cardiff? Have there been any challenges moving to Cardiff with your business at the moment?
I think it's just more like structurally, like, you know, getting the community to kind of figure out how, you know, because I've moved from London where I grew up there. So I knew creatively, I guess I knew that I knew a lot of the people that was doing, you know, doing stuff, what's the right markets, you know. But say moving to Cardiff with my business, I now have to like educate myself and just like, you know, what would sell in Cardiff, or you know, who do you know for in a negative way, but just like if I'm trying to like do a pop-up shop, if like that kind of stuff, you know. And actually the most important thing for us is, you know, moving into a space that you feel comfortable, like you feel that you can work, you know, because there was times where my work desk, if I don't feel like I can work, like making something, it just doesn't feel right, and you don't feel at home, you know. So I guess in that sense, just like settle in and actually go with the pace of like Cardiff, other than still living in the pace of London.
That's a big adjustment.
That's like a massive thing. So maybe that we find a bit challenging, and actually we're doing, you know, doing a lot with a lot of purpose, I would say. Intentional, you know, structurally, just like in London was so fast paced, like, you know, we're saying no to a lot more than we used to, because sometimes the financial demand of London, you have to say yes to projects that you don't want to. Which with Cardiff, I hope we can do everything with intention and with purpose, and just like tell the story the way we want to tell it, I guess. And slowly grow, and grow in the right way.
I absolutely love those words. They're my favourite words, intention and purpose. And I think getting up every day and having those in mind is what life is about, isn't it? You know, I couldn't think of anything worse than just being on this treadmill or just going around in the motions. I couldn't. Everything I try and do is with intention and hopefully have a purpose. And it's always about others as well, you know? It's provide with you, it's like providing somebody with the best product, the most memorable product they can keep and pass down, and that legacy as well. It's really beautiful. So who would be your ideal customer, first of all, from a personal point of view, an individual, and then from like a company point of view?
Ideal customer
in Cardiff.
we are still learning, like we're still learning that and seeing where to. I'm asking like my family, and just like actually we're going for like little walks and just like seeing what people are actually wearing, and just like seeing what the shops are like selling and stuff like that. But I guess ideal customer is like, you know, someone that wants to buy some, you know. I like the idea of like someone buying something, not just to buy it, just to wear it for a few months, but to, you know, to wear something, to wear, buy a bag, to buy a belt that like they want to wear like every day, you know. I love that part about it, like just the more you wear it, you know, the patina that comes with it, you know, the emotional connection that comes with it. Like, you know, like everyone's got a favorite pair of like maybe trainers, pair of, you know, bag, like earrings, stuff like that. And I think that's what we want with our products, I guess. So that a customer that cares about what they're wearing, more than just like wearing it because they see someone else wearing it.
And in terms of shops, I'm thinking of Wellfield Road. Have you been to Wellfield Road?
Not sure. Where's
it's towards Roath. So it's like, do you know Albany Road, City Road, that area? Roath Park?
No.
Oh, right. You need to get over to Wellfield Road. I would say your ideal customer, as in a shop, as in boutiques, would be Wellfield Road. It's quite affluent. They've got, they buy unique objects, you know. And Cowbridge as well. Have you been to Cowbridge?
No.
Definitely Cowbridge, definitely Wellfield Road. Yeah, I would say if you're looking for that high-end person who will buy one-off unique things, then yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was just going to say something then. Oh, about fast fashion. Yeah. Yeah, fast fashion is a bit of a problem nowadays, isn't it? And when you see that quick turnaround of just items and people buying it because it's new trend, and then, you know, 2 weeks later it's out in the bin again and something new brought in. And I think, you know, it's not only like takes away individuality, I think it's obviously bad for the planet. What do you think about fast fashion?
Well, I tend to try to stay away from fast fashion, you know, with stuff that I buy myself, whether that be clothes, or I buy it so that I can wear it again and again. Like, you know, I will depart with my with my money for like a shirt that I know I can wear it in different ways and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not a fan of fast fashion, but because I have friends that, you know, sometimes don't have the same stance as myself, but like, I try to understand, and I think just people sometimes just need the education. I think for us, what we're trying to do, we offer the bespoke stuff, which is like hand sewn, which is a bit more pricey because of the time that we put in it and the leather that we use and stuff like that. But there's also the stuff that we offer in terms of like the machine sewn stuff, and I think of it as like my friends that, you know, we're all kind of still becoming, so maybe we haven't got the financial stability to actually afford like a 100% hand sewn bag. So by offering them the bag that is machine sewn and slowly like educating them, just like, this is why you should buy, you know, that's a difference between a hand sewn, a machine sewn, actually. Because sometimes you have to meet people halfway to let them listen to the conversation, to let them listen to the message.
Yeah.
So I would much rather just like explaining to someone and showing someone the difference, which is why we do the workshops and stuff like that. You know, invite people to actually understand like why you need, if you make it by yourself or if you know what goes into it.
No. I didn't know you do workshops, so we can come in and watch you actually make something.
Nah, so we do, like, we actually teach.
Oh, wow.
So, in terms, like, we do offer, like, every week, we do, like, small goods level workshop, which is, like, a belt making, like, range of small goods, basically. We have the patterns ready, and we will take you step by step of how to actually make small goods or a leather bag, you know.
Wow.
So you end up not only going away with the understanding of how to make it, you know how to make it, and you actually leave with something that you've made that
would
make it a bit more personal and a bit more, I don't know, I think I'm using this word emotional attachment a bit too much. But
no, I get that.
Yeah.
And how much does that cost for somebody to come along?
So, like, the small goods workshop, it costs, like, I believe it's 115, and it's, like, from 11 till 3:30. I do maximum 4 people. And then the bag-making workshop costs, like, 250. But you get to leave with
a leather bag. That's amazing. What a great gift to buy somebody.
Yeah, thank you.
That's awesome. Kim would love that. She loves fashion. She loves making things. That'd be great for you, Kim. Wow, that sounds fantastic. Listen, we've only got 9 minutes left and I want to put one of your songs on, but is there anything you'd like to let people know? Thank you for letting us know about your workshop. I think that's really helpful. But is there anything else you'd like to let people know?
I can't think of possibly anything off the top. Yeah.
So you're based in Meanwhile House at the moment, where we are, Radio Cardiff.
Yeah.
But for now, and you're contactable on your Instagram, Kingsley Walters. I was going to say Ashley Walters then. He's the guy from Top Boy.
Yeah.
Kingsley Walters.
Yeah. On Instagram, we're Kingsley Walters Studio.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, we got the website, kingsleywalters.com.
Yeah.
And yeah, we we share a lot there, and you kind of keep up with everything that's going on. And actually, you know, just, I don't know, I think we're really excited about being in Cardiff and being in Wales and just, like, you know, embracing the culture and, yeah, like, just champion Cardiff and just...
Brilliant. You know. And we're very happy to have you. So thank you for coming here. And I think you're right. It is a slower pace, but it's a pace with intention. And it's about finding your tribe, who you belong to in that community. And then they will... It's all about your social capital. In a game, we were talking about that earlier. It's all about your social capital and your networks. And I think in London, that can be like a fast thing and you don't have time to build relationships. Whereas I think in Wales, you have time to really build them deeply. And I think that's where the real value is. And there's valuable connections, not just lots of connections, and I think that's what Cardiff can offer you.
For sure. I think I definitely wanted to slow down a little bit more. We definitely wanted to, because, you know, we want to make sure that this brand does stuff in the correct way and not get lost in the far space.
Love that.
You know, that's a choice. It's a choice with, like, a lot of meaning, so I think,
Oh, well, we didn't talk about Japan. Quickly. Tell us about Japan. I'm excited.
Oh, okay. Japan. So we went up. So basically, I've always been, like, fascinated by, you know, if you're into craft, I think you kind of appreciate Japan's appreciation of just, like, design and aesthetic. So when I went on that journey of craft, I then started to learn about, like, you know, Japan culture of, like, making and stuff like that. So when I was just starting my business, the brand, I was like, oh my god, one day I want to stock in Japan. It kind of came. It came a lot quicker than I expected in that sense. In some sense, maybe I think it might probably come. It came too soon, but we're in a showroom in Japan, which
Amazing.
Then, because Japan is a different culture. They have, like, lots of independent shops, which then goes into a showroom where your collection is, and then those independent shops then talk to that sales agent and they make the order, and then you have to make the order twice a year and post it to Japan, and that's how they get you know. So we have a relationship with a showroom there, and we're working on that, building on that, and we're doing, like, the sale campaign is starting next Monday, or first one that we're, and hopefully they get lots of orders, and then we can do producing Wales.
That's exciting. So, that is exciting for us in Wales, because we need to increase more of our exporting as well. And actually, black and minority businesses tend to export more than any other business background. Mm. So that's very exciting. I'm sure Von Gethin would love to hear that, and Von to meet you as well. You know who Von Gethin is?
Yeah.
He's our economic minister, but hopefully he's going to be our first minister soon. So, yeah, thank you so much for coming on the show, Kingsley. It's been really interesting meeting you and learning about your work. And we will definitely do whatever we can to push you in the right direction and connections. Wellfield Road, as I said, and Cowbridge, you would find lots of independents. As you said, they're the kind of customer you want. So definitely independent stores down there. So, yeah, get having a look. Go for a walk down there.
I would definitely take those names down
and
explore and see.
Brilliant.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Follow us for more up and coming episodes as we continue to showcase the essence of I Am Wales. You can support more of our inclusive media work by going to www.beexcellence.co.uk. There you will find a link to Excellence Magazine and also our weekly radio show on Radio Cardiff, every Friday morning from 9 to 11 a.m. on 98.7 FM. Thanks again for listening.